are jumping back into NFL previews today on High Motor by BetMGM. Took a few weeks off, kind of diverted to a few other things after the NFC previews. We're coming back to AFC previews. Andrew Doughty and Chase Kitty, who's very fired up for this episode, because we're going to what you called, and I quote, the most entertained division in football.
Yes, I said that.
With the dumpster fire in Houston. That was before your boy Julio Jones was traded, turning the Titans into a Super Bowl contender. Carson Wentz regaining his MVP form in Indy. The Jaguars beginning that dynasty. All of that together makes this the most entertained division in football. This is the AFC South. Your words, the most entertained division in football.
I stand by that position.
But first, briefly, a little bit of turmoil in the NCAA world this week. This is something that I just have not had a ton of time to pay attention to this week. I know the generals of it, but that actually might work well for this episode. I think the key here is that nobody knows what's going to happen. Like, we all know what the ruling said, and you can kind of break down the bullet points for those who didn't see it, don't understand it, etc. But we wanted to take a few minutes, more so you than I, because I am so like violently on the side of we cannot make any conclusions from this because this has never been done. We were just talking about before the show, the Supreme Court hadn't even weighed in on a governance of college sports decision in 30 years. I'm really hesitant to talk about it because not only do I not have the legal expertise, but there's not a single person on the planet that actually knows which direction this will go. So where do you want to take this discussion before we get into the AFC South?
Well, I think like the bullet point to keep in mind, like if you're just looking for a water cooler understanding of what this ruling means. So first of all, I read the whole thing twice. I read most Supreme Court decisions because I am a giant nerd and evidently don't have anything better to do. But it was a really fascinating opinion, in particular because of what Kavanaugh wrote by himself at the very end, which I'm going to get to here in a second. I think the main thing to take away, if you just want a very surface level understanding, is the NCAA for several decades now has enjoyed a legal protection that they had it basically legally ensconced around them, this bright line of, hey, well, we can kind of do whatever we want with student athletes because we have this special status. And that special status has been established in previous rulings, one of which you alluded to was about 30 years ago in the 80s. So now what this ruling has done is basically gotten rid of that. They have basically said, hey, that was the old standard. We are wiping that standard out. So this decision isn't, like you said, this isn't like the end of college athletics. We don't really know how this is going to happen. What we do know is this decision wipes out previous protections that the NCAA had and kind of opens the door to other people bringing suits against them to force the NCAA to remodel their thing. So this isn't what is going to wipe the NCAA model out, but it is what opens the door to it getting wiped out. And I mentioned Kavanaugh's little diatribe at the end. Kavanaugh is basically inviting new parties to come sue the NCAA. I mean, it's really the only way to read his three or four pages that he wrote at the end as this concurring opinion. And a concurring opinion doesn't necessarily carry the weight of any law. It's just sort of like an op-ed column. So he wrote this little diatribe at the end, and I'll read a small excerpt here. The NCAA couches its arguments for not paying student athletes in innocuous labels, but the labels cannot disguise the reality. The NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America. All of the restaurants in a region cannot come together to cut cooks' wages on the theory that customers prefer to eat food from low-paid cooks. Law firms cannot conspire to cabin lawyers' salaries in the name of providing legal services out of, quote, a love of the law. Hospitals cannot agree to cap nurses' incomes in order to create a purer form of helping the sick. News organizations cannot join forces to curtail pay to reporters to preserve a, quote, tradition of public-minded journalism. movie studios cannot collude to slash benefits to camera crews to kindle a, quote, spirit of amateurism in Hollywood. So he's pretty much taking a giant shit on everything that the NCAA says about themselves and holds dear and sort of like fetishizes about their model. And that's why a lot of people, including myself, feel like the end of this is him basically saying, hey, if you want to bring additional suits in the future, if you really want to come after these guys, we're not only going to hear your cases, we're probably going to agree with you. So it's not the end, but you can see the end from here.
So that's like the legal side of it, and very roughly saying like the end is coming. Here's, you know, didn't give us a timeline, but like the legal part of it, what that means, kind of like more of a granular, like methodical level, I guess you could say. My head, and I'm sure a lot of college sports fans who don't care about like the granular legal process of it are going to want to know, like, how does this affect my team? If I'm a Virginia football fan, what does this mean for Virginia football or for BYU basketball or whatever? And that's kind of where my head is at. But because I don't know, like, I'm almost tempted to even like not even ask that question, but I'm still wondering, like, could this lead to, because essentially from how I understand this ruling, like this ruling specifically, is that universities can't cap education-related money to, or education-related payments or something to student-athletes? Is that how they worded it?
That sounds right. I don't have that portion pulled up right now, but that sounds right.
Yeah, so basically, like, they can't cap the compensation as long as it's related to education. And from my understanding, that's very loose. Like, these student-athletes already, for example, get extra money to go, like, buy food at McDonald's on a Thursday morning. They can't cap those type of expenses if you can very loosely make the argument that they're related to their education, room, board, etc. somehow. So could there be a school? I want to take Liberty, for example, because Liberty has been around for, what, 4 or 5 decades now, but they basically came out of nowhere as an athletics department because they just said, we're going to pour tens of millions of dollars into our athletics programs, and you can speak more about this than I can. And then basically, like, we're going to buy an FBS football program. Like, we're going to put so much money into it that the FBS will accept us, even though we're not in a conference. I'm sure they'd probably rather be. But they essentially said, we're going to throw enough money against the wall that we're going to get an FBS football program. Could there be another program like that, established or not established already, who say, we're going to give tons and tons of money to our student athletes and frame it in this education-related expense way, essentially to buy whatever program we want? Like, we're going to attract different student athletes, or will everybody be doing it that it won't matter? Like UTEP. Let's just take UTEP for whatever reason. They're not a good football program. They're not well-funded. Will UTEP have the ability to say, we're going to throw $100 million at our football student athletes in order to buy a football program? Will that even work, though, because Clemson's going to do that, Texas is going to do that, Texas Tech is going to do that? Like, do you see what I'm asking here? Like, is this going to change the landscape of college football? Or is that also a question that we just have no idea how this is going to shake out?
Yeah, I think when you start to talk about the practical effects of what's going to happen, I think that's where I'm much less comfortable trying to figure out how things are going to shake out. I think because of how narrow the Gorsuch's decision was in this case, I mean, he really limited the scope of what they wrote about specifically to the Alston complaint. So it's hard to infer broader changes and figure out how everything will, how the dominoes will fall because of this. But it does feel like, you know, the money is going to come much more swiftly now. I think it's interesting. Liberty is one of the best examples of a program that is just kind of transparently like, we are going to just cram so much money into this program that we're going to make it successful. And to their credit, it's not just been about football. They do have a pretty good athletic department in terms of the success they've had beyond revenue sports. So it isn't just a football look at us thing, but that's certainly a big part of it. It's interesting that Liberty is one of the schools that you could say that about, because it also feels like culturally maybe there would be some pushback specifically in Lynchburg or in Provo or at certain institutions about, well, we don't want to just make this like paying the players. I think there could be cultural pushback to that versus at, say, Clemson or Alabama, where you could see much more readily the alums getting together or the institution getting together and going, yeah, we're just going to dump a bunch of money in this and we don't care. And everybody's going to be cool with it. So it is interesting to watch that dynamic and the friction that exists there. And I could be wrong about that, but that would be my feeling. I don't know yet. I think is the answer to your question. I don't know yet, but it's certainly the model is going to change. I think that much is very clear. And I won't speak for you. I'll speak for me as somebody who loves college football. Sometimes that worries me because you don't know how it's going to shake out. And it's a product we all love. It's certainly an imperfect product. I think you and I are generally on the same page in that the players need to get their end, and that hasn't been happening. We probably disagree on the scope and the scale of what needs to happen, but in broad terms, we agree. But that unsuredness, that the uneven footing that the sport is on right now does make me nervous, even though you know in the big picture, this is the direction things have to go. Like there is no other viable path other than taking the sport in this direction. So it's kind of a mix of it's good that this is happening, but also, man, I hope the sport that I love, and college basketball too, like I hope these sports that I love and that I've loved my entire life don't end up in a weird, bad place. Andrew, I have to confess to you, I have not had the greatest month of gambling in my life. The air horns have been good. Like, I've been able to isolate individual picks and give some pretty good picks over the last month on here. But in general, not a great month. And sometimes I like to shorten up my cards and really concentrate on one or two picks per day to really get the system back moving in the right direction. And so for today's air horn, I'm sharing what I've been doing this week to get things moving back in the right direction. And that is betting against the Baltimore Orioles. That's all I've been doing. I hit on a tennis bet this morning, Wednesday morning. I won one women's tennis bet. But pretty much all I've done this week is say, who's playing the Orioles? What's the run line? Yes. Bet against the Orioles. Sure, they're obviously not a very good team. I think they're better than they were the last 2 years. This is my team, by the way. I'm an Orioles fan. They're better than they were the last 2 years, but they're obviously still not very good. And now they're hurt. So, like, Means is obviously the great pitcher that they have, and he is legitimately really good, but he's hurt. And then that, you know, the bullpen's not great. The middle relief's not great. The hitting is okay. The other starters aren't very good. I mean, they've got a couple of washed up guys who are past their prime. You know, they've got the Dark Knight out there that's got an ERA of like infinity. So it's not great in Baltimore right now. And they're playing a home series against the Astros. I bet on the run line twice for Houston, won twice on the run line for Houston. So I'm going to take today off. I'm not going to bet the final game of the series. But they are about to start a 4-game series with Toronto. And if you're following baseball, you know that the Blue Jays are playing their games in Buffalo. So it's not quite a road game, but it is basically a road game. And the Orioles are in the bottom 5 road teams in Major League Baseball. Toronto, I believe, is 11th. I checked it out before we sat down to record this. In terms of home performances, even though they're not even in Toronto, which is kind of impressive. So I am looking at betting some Toronto run lines this weekend. We don't have the lines up yet, but I'm pretty much just going to blind bet them whatever they are. And then for this first game on Thursday, looking at who the likely pitchers are going to be, I'm probably going to bet the over as well because it looks like it's going to be a high-scoring affair. And then maybe a little bit of combo action, parlaying together the over and the Blue Jays run line. So that is what I'm looking at this weekend for my card. Keeping it short. Getting back in the black.
Julio Jones, plus 20,000 to win NFL MVP.
Cool.
Any comment?
Nope.
Texans are minus 650 to make the playoffs, though.
I think you've got that backwards, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Texans are -650 not to make the playoffs.
I was telling you beforehand, I didn't specifically say that was the bet I was talking about. But I told you, if I go to Vegas this summer, there is a bet here in the AFC South. I'm just going to take a bag of money with me to Vegas and just give them the whole thing. And that'll be my 16% return 4-month investment. That is the lock of locks. The Texans not to make the playoffs at -650.
Well, and that's how you explained it. I think we were talking about NFC North, and you mentioned the Lions, who I think are still at -700, which I assume, I haven't even looked, though. I assume that's the biggest number in the league. I can't fathom why that's bigger than the Texans not making it. But anyways, you explained it as, because I think I was
questioning, of the traffic in the NFC. That's why. The Lions are a better team than the Texans.
There's a pretty big gap between the Lions and the Texans on the field.
But there is some, there are going to be some average AFC teams that make the playoffs this year. The Texans aren't going to be one of them because they're not going to be average. But the NFC, you're going to have to win 10 games if you want to be in the playoffs.
But going back to the strategy part of it, because you said the Lions are making the playoffs, and I said, yeah, but that's a really big number, to which you just said, whatever it was, 16 or 17% on an investment in the stock market in five months.
-700 would be 14% ROI.
Right. So, in this case, you bet $100 to make, $15 off the Texans not making the playoffs. And I mentioned this to you before the show, is that number jumps out to me, but I wanted just to make sure, so I dug into it a little bit scheduling-wise, what would actually have to happen, because the Texans aren't winning the division. That's just not happening. And so they would need to be, even with the expanded playoff, they would need to be the third best non-divisional champion to get that third wild card spot, right?
Correct.
Breaking this down, whomever is worse between the Titans and Colts will still be better than the Texans.
Correct.
Whomever is worse between the Browns and the Ravens will still be better than the Texans.
Correct.
So that's two. They only have one spot left. And then some team from the group of the Patriots, Steelers, Dolphins, Chargers, and six other teams
the Bills.
Probably win that division.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. So it's like this, I don't even know what it is. Nine teams. Hey,
if we're going down to Houston, let's throw Jacksonville in there.
That's my point, is you have, not only you have these teams, the worst team of the Titans and Colts, the worst team of the Browns and the Ravens, but you also have Patriots, Dolphins, Chargers, Steelers, and I know you laughed about it, but not kidding, the Jaguars, because the Jaguars probably will be better than the Texans this year.
I don't even think it's probably.
What needs to happen? Not even from a scheduling standpoint from the Texans. You're talking about the Texans getting to, we'll be generous and say 8-9 makes the playoffs this year. Not only do the Texans need to somehow pull 8 wins out of their ass, all of these other teams, and I get that the middle of the AFC is a lot of mediocrity, but I think in this case it kind of works against them because there aren't that many truly awful teams in the AFC. You can make the argument that Texans are the only truly awful team in the AFC. Talk about traffic. There are just too many teams here for this to possibly happen, and at 650, that is a bargain.
I still don't think people, and this is something I've talked about before, so I'm going to try not to repeat myself too much, I don't think people understand how bad Houston's going to be in 2021.
But they don't even have to be that bad. This could be, they could have an unbelievable season based on their preseason expectations and go 6-11 and not even be close to the playoff picture. That's what could happen, and you would still win this bet by 2, 3, 4 wins.
Yeah. So if you are one of the people that listen to this podcast, and you've just got $100,000 lying around in a suitcase, as you often do, I'm telling you, one of the best ways you can spend it, head to the nearest legal sports book. Perhaps it's MGM in Las Vegas, where I would like to go. And buy yourself a Lions-Texans parlay ticket, not to make the playoffs. And just come back in 18 weeks and collect your money, because it's not going to happen.
What's the payout on that parlay?
So
it's what, 700?
I don't know.
700 and 650?
Talk for 20 seconds and I'll be able to tell you.
So we'll put $1,000 down. I'll put 100 grand since we're getting feisty here. So what is it, -650 and then -700? You're getting a payout of 31, 32%.
There you go.
if you have $100,000 in a trust or your whomever died and you got some money, and you go hire a financial advisor and deposit that money with them, and they say, you know what, in 5 months, you're going to get a 32% return. You wouldn't even blink. You would just say, yep.
It's 32 grand in case you suck at math.
Even if you take the Lions out, which I don't know if I would place this parlay bet because that's still just, you need to put down a lot of money to get this. Leave the Texans in there. 15%. The Texans won't make the playoffs.
It's great. And I'm, as I've said too, also on the under four. Now I'm not putting six figures on that. But I like the under four. They're not winning four games. So give me that one too. What else do you like in this division?
What's the number on that? Minus.
Oh, it's pretty much a split. It's a under four minus 115, over four minus 105.
I want to go off the board a little bit here before we kind of go back to some of the more typical bets.
Love it. Great.
I don't like betting on awards, and I don't think you do either. I don't know if you ever bet on awards.
It's pretty rare.
Frank Reich to win Coach of the Year is plus 1,800. If he revives Carson Wentz and the Colts win this division at 12-5, maybe 13-4, they could get there. He's either the Coach of the Year or he's right there. And at plus 1,800, I'm not throwing $50 down on this, but I mean, throwing $5 on this, that he revives Carson Wentz, with whom he has a previous relationship with, and they made magic together only 4 years ago. I get that there's like weapon concerns in Indy, but I think that might actually play into it, because if Frank Reich is able to get Carson Wentz to play close to what he did or like he did in 2017, which I think is a reach, but at plus 1,800, I don't think it's that big of a reach. I think that would get noticed if he did that. So I might be willing to put a few bucks on this.
I think that's a great idea by you. Yeah. I mean, so many times these like Coach of the Year, Player of the Year, like all these comeback player of the year.
One thing.
It's about narratives, right?
Yeah.
And that would be an A-list narrative to manifest itself. So I think that's a great pull by you.
What else you got? I got a couple Colts ones, but
while we're on the Colts, let's talk Colts. What do you got?
So I have two for the Colts. One, I think the Colts will win the division if you're giving me plus odds to do it. I was hoping that after the Julio Jones trade, they would get bumped down a little bit. Because as we talked about the Julio Jones overreactions last week, I think, I was kind of hoping the Colts might go down. They're at plus 105. I was kind of hoping that the public might go full ham on the Titans and I can get the Colts at like plus 115, 120. But I'm still happy to get them at plus 105. They're the better team, the Titans. They have fewer holes. I have all the same concerns that everybody else does about the pass rush. I mean, that's why they drafted Kwity Paye. They have the best offensive line in the division. They have the best corners in the division. With that, I also like the Colts over at 9.5, though, but I think I'm probably going to wait on that. The VIG on that is minus 150. I kind of want that one in the same frame that we talked about the Rams going from 10 to 10.5, and I don't have those VIGs off the top of my head. I want this number to hit 10 because this is going to drop, not significantly, but if the Colts go to 10, I mean, we're talking about probably minus like 110-ish.
Oh, I would think it would be like plus 115. I think it would go to a plus.
I guess it illustrates my point even more. Like, whatever it drops, I mean, if it only drops to minus 130, which it's not going to, but I think at very worst case scenario, it would be like a minus 10, and maybe you're right. Maybe it is in that one plus 115 neighborhood. I want this number to go up a half, which it seems like it's trending in that direction. I think as we do get to training camp, even though we'll have a lot of like glowing reports on the situation in Indy and that pairing and Carson Wentz is going to be arrived and all that kind of crap, we're going to have more reports on Julio Jones and what he's going to do in this offense alongside A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry. So I think that hype is going to push this number so far that the book will put it at 10. So I'm going to wait for that to happen. I'm pretty sure that will happen. And then I'll take the over on 10. So anyways, Colts win the division plus 105. Colts 9.5, taking the over on that. Right now it's minus 150. I'm going to wait for that to hit 10.
I too am joining you on Colts win the division at plus 105. I'm going to stay away from the number And I'm also looking at a funky, this is, I guess, more of a bet against the Titans than a bet on the Colts. But I like that we've talked before that MGM has these dual bets where you can bet on the top two division finishers in
order.
This
doesn't seem like your deal. I'm surprised.
I don't usually like this, but I because I feel good about the Colts, I feel good about this bet, which would be 10-1.
Yep.
Colts win the division. Jaguars finish second.
Yes. I didn't think you were going to go here because this type of bet just isn't
really
your jam.
But
when you said you were going here,
yeah,
I knew that's what you were going at.
I like it a lot. It's good ROI. I like it. I think the Jags could have like a weird fun. I mean, it's all about the Titans. Despite the Julio Jones trade, I still feel like the Titans are trending down. They have to play the division winner schedule. And the Jaguars are trending up. They've got a lot of offensive energy. Urban Meyer is not necessarily a proven NFL coach, but he's just a smart guy. And I have been cynical of his, you know, like go somewhere, be successful. And then when I'm bored, I'm just going to leave and say it's for medical reasons. I think he uses that as sort of an out a little too much to my comfort. But that doesn't change the formula that he goes somewhere and has success. And he's a smart guy. I trust smart people to figure stuff out. So I feel like they are going to have success this year. Are they going to have enough success with a rookie quarterback and all the turmoil that comes along with being in Jacksonville to unseat Tennessee? I don't know, but 10-1 is a pretty good price to take a flyer.
And we talked about this a little bit. I can't remember which divisional episode is that when you're breaking down like these different ones, there's exact outcome where you're picking every team, like Colts first, Titans second, Jags third, Texans fourth, top two finish, so obviously finish in the top two, a dual forecast where either teams can go in either order. So like you could pick the Colts and Titans, finish 1-2 in either order, -400, and then the straight forecast, like Colts first, Titans second. You can also pick like first, second, third, fourth for each spot. So in picking, what was it, Colts first, Jaguars second, +1,000, right?
Mm-hmm. And yep. I was looking through this, and I realized that Colts 1, Jags 2 is the exact same payout as Colts 1, Jags 2, Titans 3, Texans 4, because it is that obvious that the Texans are terrible and that nobody wants to bet them, and they're really bad.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going. So when you see a number you like, just do some due diligence for 15 seconds and scroll through these different odds. For example, I was going to point to that one, but also top two finish, Jaguars +280. The Jaguars aren't winning this division, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, like you've alluded to, that the Jaguars finish second. So why on earth would you take the Jaguars at +280 when you could, I guess, maybe if you think that the Titans are going to win it, but in that case...
the Titans are going to win, yeah.
Right, but then you can just take both Colts first, Jaguars second, and Titans first, Jaguars second for +1,100. The point being, like, just take some extra time to go through the different options that you have here and identify where that value is. You might not hit on this bet, but at least you're putting yourself in a position where you're getting the best value as opposed to taking the Jaguars at +280, which I don't understand why in the world you would want to take that bet for any value reason or on the field reason. But at +1,000, you're willing to roll that dice because of what that number is.
Let's talk about the Jags specifically. So their win total here sitting at 6.5. The over is +100. The under is -120. +275 to make the playoffs. -350 to miss the playoffs. How do you feel about that?
I'm not touching any Jaguars numbers. I don't know what's going to happen there, to put it very simply. It was -350 you said to not make the playoffs, correct?
Correct.
If I was going to touch a number, that would be it for the reasons I just mentioned, because the Jaguars, even though I like the value of what you just said, first and second at +1,000, I don't think the Jaguars are going to be better than the worst team of the Colts and the Titans. They're not going to be better than the loser of the AFC North. And I think that there are going to be enough teams in that third group I mentioned, the Patriots, Steelers, Dolphins, etc., to be better than the Jaguars. And if you're only giving me 350, the return on that, I think it's probably worth it to take that number. I'm not like fully aboard that yet. I'm not sure if that's like a training camp thing or if I want to see some preseason action. I don't know what it is, but I just don't have enough faith in a rebuild that we've never really seen before in the NFL.
Yeah. I'm a little nervous about the playoff numbers because I think they could definitely clip that seven spot. I think they could. I think they, really? They're probably going to have a good start. I think it's possible. And
yeah, but only at 350, though. I can understand if it was, I don't know, I don't even know what the number would be where I wouldn't take it. But like at 350, it seems like you're betting for a lot of things to go right for the Jaguars and a lot of things. I mean, you're talking about all those teams are going to hover around 500. Yes, some of those teams will suck, but some of them will be really good, too. Out of the Patriots, Dolphins, etc., one of those teams will win 11, 12, 13 games.
I think they have a really friendly schedule. I think the NFL wants the Jaguars to be good this year.
Oh, for sure.
And I don't think it's – I think it's a big storyline. It would get a lot of coverage if Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence came in there and right out of the gate they were good. And I think the NFL, knowing that, dealt them a very friendly opening schedule. Really? Week
so you're
one.
Going full conspiracy with this.
I mean, I don't think that's a conspiracy. I think it's known that the NFL schedules in its own interest. So I mean, let's look at the schedule here. Week one at Houston, that's a win.
Sure.
Week two, Denver at home, 1 p.m. kick. I kind of like Jacksonville there. What?
50-50.
I think I lean Jacksonville there. Yeah, it's probably like 52-48, but I lean Jacksonville. Week three, home against Arizona. I think that's a true 50-50 game. Week four, at the Bengals, winnable. Week five, home against Tennessee. I mean, that's a divisional game. I think you got to give the edge to the Titans there because of the success they've had recently, but certainly would not be crazy if Jacksonville won that game. Week six, they're home against Miami. Oh, no, wait, they're in London for that Miami game. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And Jacksonville, you know, the team of London, home field advantage in London, obviously.
Tickets I mean, are $985 for that game.
So, you know, a little bit of tongue-in-cheek there, but I do think that's a pretty friendly opening schedule.
Who would pay $985 to see the Dolphins?
Is it in dollars, pounds, or euros?
That's how it stuck out to me. That's how I remembered it was in London, because all of these other games, like at Houston, tickets as low as $41. Versus Arizona, $39. Versus Miami, $985.
See, the people in London love the Jags, though. All I'm saying is week seven, they have a bye.
Fine.
I think
okay,
they're
okay,
four.
Here, hold on. Let's say they go
4-2 going into the bye. They're fine. Feeling confident. And they are in the hunt for the playoffs for the remainder of the schedule.
Okay, but realistically, 9 wins is probably going to be where you need to get for the playoffs. I will give you 4-2, even though that's not happening. You still need to get 5 wins, and they might go from week 8 through week 14 with 1 win, maybe against Atlanta. They're not beating Seattle, they're not beating Buffalo, not beating Indy, not beating San Francisco, not beating the Rams, not winning at Tennessee. So it's going to be week 15, Houston at home with 5 wins max.
They would have to win out. You're totally right.
They would have to, let me finish my thought at least. They'd have to win out against Houston, at the Jets, at Patriots, Colts at home.
You are absolutely right that middle section of the schedule is brutal with Seattle, Buffalo, Indy, San Fran, Atlanta, LA, Tennessee.
So maybe it is an NFL thing where they're sitting around a table saying, you know what? Let's give him Matt Houston so Tebow can take some quarterback snaps in the fourth quarter. Everyone can lose their mind. Maybe they start 4-2. Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer, Tebow pushing all this. And then we're going to just... I mean, look, the middle half of this schedule
is just
a bloodbath.
It's brutal, yeah.
For a young team, I mean, going back to what Jason Scott, the VP for trade at BetMGM said, this is not like his unique opinion. A lot of people have said this around football. They think that some of these younger transitioning teams are going to, even though it's only one game longer, he thinks they're going to kind of hit a wall around week 13, week 14. So that's like assuming that they would even beat Houston in week 15, that they would go to New York and win in week 16. This team is not making the playoffs. I've convinced myself talking about
week
16 is a steal.
Week 16 is not when you want to play the Jets this year, because they're going to have something that late in the season.
What was it, 350? So if you parlay $100,000, right? Into the Texans -650, the Lions -700, the Jaguars minus 350. Payout is $69,000 on that.
Yeah, I want the safe bet, and I think you probably are going to end up being right about the Jags not making the playoffs. But I think they could make you sweat, and I don't think the Lions and Texans are going
to
even.
But now we're at a point with the odds here in the return where you don't have to throw down the $100,000. I mean, if your bankroll is a little bit lower, my bankroll is not very big. Maybe I'll throw down.
You don't
50
have $100,000 sitting in the bankroll. That's not. You don't have that.
No, it's not.
You don't have
what it is.
You don't have $65,000 in a suitcase that your wife will just let you throw on football stuff at your leisure.
I was telling her the other day that, because I handle all the finances.
Mm.
So I was saying, like, I could buy something for thousands of dollars and you wouldn't know. Like, I could tie up thousands of dollars into a parlay with the Texans, the Jaguars, and the Lions.
And she said, you've been talking to Chase too much.
But the point being is that now parlaying these three together, that's worth the $50 bet to me, the $100 bet. And you're not even really tying that money up. That's nothing. Anything else in this division?
I want the over 6.5 at even odds before I want the no playoffs. I think that's where I would leave the Jacksonville stuff.
You're going to take that and come on. Like I said the other day, I'm going to take the Nebraska under, and every Nebraska loss, I'm going to come back on Monday and celebrate. You're going to take the Jaguars over and celebrate every Jaguars win, aren't you?
God, that would be so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
I could be a huge Tebow fan until they get that seventh win, and then I will aggressively not care. Aggressively not care, Andrew.
Anything else on the most entertaining division in football?
Do you want to do 5 seconds on Tennessee? I feel like we didn't talk about them a ton. Look, their coach left. They're playing the division winner schedule. I'm not saying they're not good enough to win the division. They've got some talent. It would be hard to be as bad as they were on defense again this year. But I would not. That feels like you're coming late to the party if you're betting on Tennessee stuff this year.
Yep.
So I would look other places in this division.
Tennessee -165 to make the playoffs. +135. No. Over 9.5. -110. Under 9.5. -110. So that number is probably not going anywhere. I could see the, yes, playoffs getting up into the 180, 190 range at least as we get that Julio Jones preseason hype, but I'm just kind of like Tennessee. I don't think Tennessee is a bad team.
No.
I just think that there's a noticeable gap between them and the Colts are going to win this division by a couple of games. Like, this is not a bad team. This is a wild card team. That's why, and I think the 165 number probably reflects where it's at.
I think some regression is inevitable. I would guess that they finished this season like 8-9. And, like, you know, they're good. They probably beat a team or two that they're not even supposed to. But I don't want the Tennessee tickets. I'm looking at Jags stuff. I'm looking at Houston stuff. I'm looking at Indy stuff. I don't want anything to do with Tennessee.
It's like when you have a fantasy football player on a horrible team and you're, like, quote-unquote forced to watch him play.
Yeah.
I'm going to be forced to watch a lot of Nebraska football this year. And a lot of Houston and Jaguars football this year.
Trevor Lawrence is going to throw for like 615 yards one game this year. It's just some dumb game. It's going to be like the surprise red zone 1 p.m. game of the day. And I'm going to just come in here guns blazing the next Monday. Like, hey, see, you see Travis Etienne had 215 receiving yards. You see that? Yeah.
Maybe the play here is that I don't see 4-2 for the Jaguars to start, but like I could see 3-3. Maybe the play here is to let them maybe put some money preseason that they're not going to make the playoffs, but let them get to 3-3, 4-2, and see if that number comes down a little bit. Maybe that's the play, because
that is now you're really on to something. That would be a very interesting play. Yeah, let them coast through their easy start to the schedule and then come in and hammer them not to make the playoffs. Yeah. That's a great way to bet the
maybe it's not even like to week six. Maybe it's if they beat Houston, nobody's going to care. But maybe if they put up 30 on a pretty good Denver defense, maybe people will care. Like maybe that's the one that the number's not going to go up.
You definitely sold me on that. I'm in on that plan. That's a good plan.
I mean, because the number's not going to go down with a Houston win, but it could bump up with a Denver win. So maybe that's when you jump in. I don't know.
I like it.
Because they're not making the playoffs.
If you say so.
Are you good?
I'm going to order my my Trevor Lawrence jersey right now.
This episode was more fun than I expected.
Surprisingly entertaining, the AFC South.
Surprisingly entertaining. We are back on Monday. That is Monday, June 28th, final episode of the month. We will continue going through the AFC with the AFC West, East, and North previews in the next 2 weeks. You, sir, are holding a Cleveland Browns Super Bowl ticket, so we'll hear about that before we shift to some college football, P5 previews, G5 FCS predictions, a whole bunch of other stuff. We'd love to have you back with us for those, so please hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you're using. Get that auto download on Monday morning right away. Thank you for stopping by and listening to High Motor by BetMGM.